give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?
Welcome to Hopecasts, where our true stories brighten your day by providing insight and encouragement. I invite you to listen as my husband, Dr. Ken Brown, shares one of his amazing personal experiences that will inspire and stir your soul. Even in the challenges of life's darkest moments, you can always find a glimmer of hope through the love of God. So settle in, open your heart, and let's journey together through the power of storytelling.
Finish your race. It has been said by those much wiser that it is not how we begin our life, but how well we complete it. Cancer in my mother reappeared in her 87th year, and she once again bravely faced the sufferings through her faith in God and love for family. Over the years, I have observed that illness has the capacity to draw families together. So once again, I found myself returning to our family home in Toronto, where I grew up, to spend time with my beloved mom. Our morning traditions was that she would make coffee while I went on my daily morning jog. Then we would sit and talk for a couple of hours. The smell of percolating coffee in the air, I carefully gave her a quick but gentle hug and then darted out the door, being careful not to slam it on the way. At the time, I was 62 years of age, and I must confess that now my run had become more like a jog, just above a quick walking speed. Whenever I came home, my 50-minute routine was to slowly run for 5 miles down our street to the park, past Broadwood Public School, where I attended for 5 years, from grade 4 through grade 8, and then continue north for 2 miles along the grassy path underneath the power lines, and then return home on the same route. Little did I know that this was to be the very last run that I would ever complete on this well-worn trail. Perhaps it was the impending death of my mother, but for me, today's run would be full of ghosts, memories, and realizations and reaffirmations. In a gentle warm-up, I crossed over from our street, Kilkenny Drive, over to the Broadwood Park, and that's when I encountered the first bubble of memory. As I ran up that little hill that overlooked my former public school, there it was, that dreaded baseball diamond still standing after more than 50 years. And as I ran down the grade, onto the playground, past second place to home plate, I clearly recalled the many times that I had been rejected, embarrassed, and teased on that very turf. It seemed to be the ancient school tradition that all physical education teachers always asked the two most popular and athletic students to pick the team from the class. And as each jock consecutively scheduled and selected their next pick, inevitably, I was chosen last, often to the mocking of my fellow classmates or expressions like, "Do we have to have him on our team?" Although this gravely injured my self-esteem, I could not entirely blame them for not wanting me, as I had such a bad attitude not wanting to play any team sports, especially with people that did not want me, and I did not even try to play the game, either in a passive-aggressive protest. And what is opposite of being a natural athlete? Well, what is that? Well, that would be me, of course. Every time I would run here, these memories would always assault me. But today, the intensity was so much greater that I almost stopped. I almost stopped running to walk home, but I did not. I was now beginning to chug along that one-way, two-mile grass trail below the power lines. You see, I could not stop as I entered the second cloud of memory. At 14 years of age, I was sick and tired of being the fat kid who constantly was being teased. So I made a life-changing decision as I entered high school. I noticed how my fellow chubby friend Colin slimmed out as he ran his bicycle for hours that summer. And I determined to share his story by taking up cross country the week after starting grade 9. There was only one small problem. I was so out of shape that I had trouble even running around the quarter mile track, even once. I was the slowest person on the team, but there was a feeling of accomplishment when I finally finished my first mile. Over only 2 weeks into the school year, our cross-country coach informed us that we were all going to have a race at Bruce's Mills Conservation Area on Saturday. The bright yellow bus picked up the 25 of us early that morning and dropped us off at the park. And that is when I realized, or remembered, that while I was in Boy Scouts, Bruce's Mills had been the place where we did our winter camping and lit fires in the rain, and we hiked. And it was a very hilly place, and the thought of running up and down those hills for 5 miles when I could not even jog for more than a single mile on level ground, well, that absolutely terrified me. As we waited for the race to begin, more and more runners got out of more and more buses from various schools all across Toronto until there were approximately 250 athletes lined up in a dozen rows, 20 deep across that road. Now, that was really intimidating because I knew that I would be embarrassed to be the very last person to cross the finish line. As I was not into sports and being the designated geek, I ended up somehow on the right side near the front, and I was not prepared for what happened next. A man with a baseball cap and a grizzly gray beard shouted, "Ready, set, go!" And he raised a black handgun and fired a loud blank shot. Bang! It seemed to be right in my ear. In Canada, I had never seen a revolver or heard a gun go off, so the loud retort completely unnerved me. Everyone immediately started to stampede like a herd of wild horses, and I tried to move with a pack, but apparently not fast enough. After only 10 steps along, someone behind me stepped on my ankle, and down I went into the gravel road. People were jumping over me, almost falling on me, and I was worried about being trampled by this mob merely 20 seconds into the race. Finally, everyone had passed, and I sat up lying on the road, assessing the damage to my knee. There was only a tiny scratch, and I was in no pain. And that is when our coach came over to see how I was and exclaimed, "Are you hurt?" Shaking my head, I mumbled, "I'll be okay." And then the coach says, "Bad luck. That was quite a tumble. Can you get up and still run?" And that is when I realized that I'd been given a gift, a waterproof excuse for not running and likely dying that day at Bruce's Mills. I'm very ashamed to say that I hammed it up and exaggerated the injury by holding my knee. After all, there was a dot of blood coming out from that scratch. The coach put rubbing alcohol and a Band-Aid on it. I was so relieved that I did not have to run that day. However, less than an hour later, one by one, the whole team came over to me to say how sorry they were that I had been injured, and I repeatedly explained, then told them my lies and showed them the Band-Aid to convince them that I was some type of heroic martyr for the team. But inside, I knew so well that I was just a phony, constantly lying to everyone just to get out of that race. How I despised myself and my weakness in body and personal integrity. On the bus ride home, now that is when I made my irrevocable decision to finish every race and to not give up, no matter the cost or pain. And God helping me, I really tried to live up to this commitment I made to myself that day. Back to reality, I was now breathing hard and starting to feel the familiar burning in my chest, battling the enemy aches and tiredness that were trying to persuade me to quit. I had just reached the farthest point in my run, and as I always did, I lightly touched the fence that protected the highway, then turned around and began the second half back of this ordeal to home. As my feet went pat, pat, pat on the grass, and the hypnotic rhythm transported me into a third and even more vivid flashback. 4 years after my first debacle of running, I was still on our high school cross-country team. In fact, they rated me as being the seventh best as a senior, but that spared me from having to run in the Ontario Championships because they only had to have the first five. They were the people that were chosen to compete, thankfully. And the day before the race, I was told by our coach to buckle up as two of our team's best. They had the flu and were unable to compete. I remember having that same feeling of terror that terrified me and petrified me at Bruce's Mills. These runners at the competition were the absolute best from the top 25 high schools in all of Ontario. The only reason I agreed to go was that I had made that resolution to myself so many years ago to never give up. There are now 108 aggressive runners signed in at Centennial College for this champion race, and they all seem to be lean and mean compared to my stocky build. Everyone seemed to be more athletic. So I told myself when lining up at the starting line that I only had to do my best. I only had to finish no matter what happened. And I did give it my absolute best. I left nothing in reserve. But no matter how hard I tried, one to one, the racers passed me until I was at the end of the pack. I tried to keep up, then catch up. And I fell further behind and further behind until there was no one I could see in front of me or behind me. And still on I pressed, chest literally on fire, puffing like a steam engine, muscles screaming and every instinct shouting at me to stop. My mind was yelling, "What's the use? You're nothing but a loser. You already know you have lost. Just quit." But I had to be true to myself. So I ran this race against myself. The prize? To finish. And finish I did. 103rd out of 108 racers. Most of the runners had already packed up and were beginning to leave by the time I crossed the finish line. And there was no one left to cheer me on or watch me to complete the race. I won. I knew that I had won. Not only because I actually did finish the race and did not give up, because the runners number 104, 105, 106, 107, and 108 did give up. And in my heart, I knew that God had helped me to triumph over my weakness and self-doubts. Coming out of these powerful reflections and returning to the present, I had just completed the Powerline segment of my run. So once again, I crossed that street, running around my former public school to face that baseball diamond. Only this time, I stomped over every one of those ghosts, squashing those two lines, stamping over that my humiliation and shame, till every trace had been trampled into the dirt of that playground. On this run, I had a revelation from God that I was no longer that chubby boy that would rather quit than fail, that would rather avoid than try. That was the old me that would rather live in shame and obscurity than endure the pain it takes to become a man. But now I was finally free because the Lord had remade me inside and out. I began to ponder how many of my former classmates were still alive, still healthy, and still able to run 5 miles. A smile came to my face as I thought, "I bet you that they'd pick me now." And I gave thanks to God for being my coach and my trainer, who was not finished in the person he was creating. And that's the exact moment when I jogged up my mother's driveway and barged in through her door, so happy to report this epiphany. Even in her pain, my caring mom listened to me recount every detail, every memory, and the insights that God had been giving me. She exclaimed how over the years she had observed this transformation in me. And like always, she was so supportive. What a wonderful talk we had that morning over coffee. And a few short months later, my dear mother faithfully finished her race. No more runs, no more talks or visits. But her quiet heroism, endurance, and compassion of my mother, I hope, lives on inside of me. All our family agreed that the best Bible verses that fit our mother was 2 Timothy 4:7, which says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." It has been said that engineers will often evaluate the capacity of an invention or product by running it under load for a prolonged period of time. Is there any way that you really know what is inside a package and let you open it? You can only really know what a person is like until you work with them or live with them or go to war with them and see them in crisis. So God tests all of us to purify us and build us up and then see what type of people we truly are. I have often read Hebrews 12:1-3 to encourage myself to finish my race despite all the trials. It is my hope that through this story and these holy scriptures, you might find strength to finish your race. May God preserve you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. May the Lord strengthen you and help you as you're finishing the race that God has set before you in your life. But don't do it alone. Do it with God. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning into HopeCast for inspiring stories that will touch your heart. If today's story encouraged you, then please subscribe to our channel and visit us at HopeCast.org to learn more. You can also watch the video version of this story and many more from Dr. Brown on our HopeCasts, YouTube, or listen on our Spotify, Apple, or Amazon Music podcasts. Until next time, keep holding on to hope, and please share these stories with someone who really needs encouragement. May God bless you.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything just to see you. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? 'Cause I know faith holds in what can be seen. But my hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around?